that March is Endometriosis Awareness Month, or just Endo March, as it's also sometimes known. And on March 24th, Endometriosis Australia is going to be hosting high teas around the country to end the silence on endo, raising awareness and hopefully some funds as well. Now, 1 in 10 women, and this, we're talking about 176 million women worldwide, are actually affected by endometriosis, which is a condition where tissue very similar to the lining of the uterus grows in other areas of the body, and it causes a range of symptoms from pain to infertility. It is also both difficult to detect and hard to treat. Now, after much lobbying by Endometriosis Australia, the government has recently promised to allocate $2.5 million to research into it, a move that many are calling long overdue. Dr. Mike Armour is a postdoctoral research fellow at the National Institute of Complementary Medicine. Mike, a very good morning to you.
Morning, Nick.
Now, one of the statistics that surprised me a little was that people can live with endometriosis undiagnosed for up to 10 years. And I'm just curious, when we look at those symptoms and having known people who suffer from it, what makes it so hard to detect?
I think it's probably two factors. One of them is obviously for diagnosis of endometriosis at the moment, the only gold standard for diagnosis is laparoscopy, which is, you know, quite an invasive surgery, which has its own risks as well as costs. So understandably, I think quite a few doctors are quite reluctant to jump into, you know, doing a laparoscopy. I think the other issue is a lot more complicated, and I think it is around this normalization of menstrual pain and symptoms that seems to happen for a lot of women. So women are often going to their, women report that they go to their doctor. They're often talking about these symptoms and they're being quite normalized. So basically they're being told, well, everyone has period pain, you know, which is true. Period pain is very, very common. And so then it's being kind of dismissed. Because it's just normal and it's just something that can be managed, you know, with heat or rest or over-the-counter analgesics. So there doesn't seem to be, you know, the understanding that some mild discomfort, for example, on the first couple of days of the period might be considered normal, if you like. But, you know, agonizing pain where you're unable to work or go to school is not. So it seems like everything is often getting lumped in together. And so these women are just being told it's normal period pain when it obviously isn't.
So once we've got a diagnosis of endometriosis, what treatments are currently available?
The gold standard again, and really the only treatment which shows really significant long-term effectiveness so far is what we call excision surgery, which is where a skilled gynecological surgeon goes in and removes the endometrial deposits. This, you know, generally tends to produce a quite a long-term increase in quality of life and reduction of pain. So that's definitely the best treatment that we have so far. There are other options which are less invasive. So the Mirena, for example, often provides quite a bit of pain reduction. Some women find that oral contraceptive pill can help, or the Implanon, for example, the long-acting implant. So often treatments which reduce the number of periods or the frequency of periods tends to be helpful. Obviously, none of these things, as you will know, are a cure for endometriosis, but they are effective treatments for some women. From a more kind of complementary and alternative medicine side, there's some preliminary evidence to suggest that acupuncture can help women manage their pain better. Again, not a cure, and it probably doesn't reduce the size or the number of lesions, but it seems to help manage pain. And there's some promising evidence coming out as well around yoga and some more gentle forms of exercise to help manage pain. But again, unfortunately, as you'll know from seeing a lot of the discussion around this, it tends to be quite hit and miss what works for women.
Yeah, look, and I was going to say, when we're talking about these sort of treatments, $2.5 million does not sound like a lot of money to go towards research.
I think, look, it's a great start. I've been in endometriosis research for about just over 2 years now, and even the change in that time has been phenomenal. And so I'm hoping that, you know, obviously this is going to be a great beginning investment by the government. And we think that some of the research that we've got coming out in the next 4 or 5 months is hoping to show a bit more about the scope of the financial impact that endometriosis has. And hopefully that will also, you know, get some discussion going within government about, you know, what is the cost of not spending money on helping to, you know, do more research on this disease.
Look, I've got to say, with a topic like, or a theme rather, to end the silence on endo, it does sound like it suffers from a lot of, well, society's taboo around discussing women's health problems this way.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's one of the biggest, you know, issues. I often say, I can't talk about my research at the dinner table. You know, it's not polite dinner party conversation. And that is a big part of it, is that, you know, because menstruation, reproduction and sexuality all seem to be tied very tightly together. I think, you know, we don't talk about it enough in society. And this means that, you know, often young women especially aren't necessarily getting good information about what a normal period is and when they should be seeing their doctor, for example. And women who have really severe symptoms can sometimes be told by well-meaning friends and family, for example, oh, it's just normal. So, you know, I think there's this lack of good information out there, and there's this taboo around speaking about it. And those two things definitely, I think, are really negative predictors for how well, you know, endometriosis is talked about and understood amongst women.
Look, Dr. Armour, we are going to leave it there, but thank you so much for your time this morning.
No, you're most welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Dr. Mike Armour there. He's postdoctoral research fellow at the National Institute for Complementary Medicine, talking about endometriosis. You can take part in Endo March events right here in Sydney. It's on this Saturday. Links are going to be up on the 2SER.com website.